Hello, everybody. It is Saturday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for Multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, here for the final Steelers mock draft tracker video of the season. We're going to be doing our live stream next week right here where we're recording today at Mike's Beer Bar. We're kind of doing a trial run here, see how our whole setup works. We're really excited. It's going to be the first time we're doing this live. I'm here with Christopher Carter and Brian Batko. So you got three of us on video. For the first time, it's appropriate for the final mock draft tracker of the video season. Guys, how are you guys doing?
Doing great. Yeah. Once we get to next week down here live at Mike's Beer Bar, no more mock drafts. It'll be real draft season. So thankfully, finally, we're almost there.
It's a lot of excitement. And now this is also when we start to see the final pushes of which players are getting propped up a bit more than others. And it changes some of the conversations that we thought were settled for months. Now all of a sudden get flipped upside down.
Yeah, I think you set that up well, Chris, because we're going to get into Graham Barton, who just seems to be showing up in every mock draft I see right now.
So I'm wearing this Duke hat, Adam. Did I ever tell you I grew up a Duke fan?
No, you did not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't because I like Christian Laettner or anybody like that, but I like Grant Hill.
You liked front runners. That's what it was.
No, I like the Pistons for some reason, and I like Grant Hill. And, you know, at 6 years old or whatever, I found out what college he went to, and then I adopted his college, and now here we are, which is why I have this old hat to represent
so
Graham Barton.
You must hate Blake Hinson.
And I have nothing against Blake Hinson at all. In fact, I like Blake Hinson.
I was a Detroit Ben Wallace era fan.
Oh, yeah. That was I. They were awesome,
that was,
too.
That was my team for a while there. Rip Hamilton, Rashid Wallace.
Chauncey Billups.
Yes. Shout out Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton. I think I already said Rip Hamilton. So, whatever. Let's move on. Let's talk some football. Before we do, just want to thank our primary sponsor for this episode of the podcast, Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Chris, we started talking about Graham Barton. Let's get into it. Every mock draft I see, it feels like, has him as the Steelers guy now. And I don't know if that's the sense that a lot of people have locally, but nationally, I think a lot of people look at the situation with James Daniels playing on an expiring contract this season, with Isaac Seumalo's contract expiring in 2 years, and saying, hey, Graham Barton's a guy that they can draft to play center in 2024, and then they can put him wherever he fits best from that point forward. Have we been maybe overlooking the need at guard in our conversations about tackle, receiver? Are we missing something locally that maybe guys are seeing nationally?
Well, I think the big thing is that Graham Barton's testing as a center right now. So he's not looking to be a guard. The Steelers, if they draft him at 20, it's to be the next starting center. What really changed a lot of the conversations, Adam, was how well he tested at his pro day, which the Steelers did have people at, and it gave them a closer look to see, whoa, that 40-yard dash time, that explosiveness challenge, like if you look at the relative athletic score, which is a great way to measure how guys' size combines with their athleticism and all the numbers, he had a 9.99 out of 10 in comparing to other centers out there. That is a great sign of athleticism. The question is a center worth the 20th overall pick, which is why some people have the Steelers taking offensive tackle. Personally, if one of the top six offensive tackles are there in this draft class, all of those guys are guys that typically in a regular offensive tackle class might go top 10, in my opinion. But in this year, there's so many of them, you could still get a guy that typically would be a top 10 pick at offensive tackle, maybe at 20th overall. But Graham Barton is unique because he's athletic, and like you said, he is flexible. He started as a freshman at Duke as the center, played tackle, played guard. We know the Steelers love flexibility. And if you get him, in my opinion, he's starting day one at center. You don't have to worry about that position anymore. And now you can look at tackle, corner, receiver in the second and third round instead of worrying about, oh, will you luck into Zach Frazier in the second round or have to settle for Cedric Van Pran even later in the draft?
Yeah, but I guess here's my question is I have no question that the Graham Barton would be the center if you draft him this year.
Yeah.
But if we're at this point next year, we're sitting here in Mike's Beer Bar getting ready to do our live stream 2025. Is it possible we're having any conversation about, hey, there's some decent centers in this draft that could take that mantle from Graham Barton and you can slide Graham Barton over? Brian, do you see that at all as a possible outcome for the Graham Barton and the Steelers?
I think it mainly just speaks to his value being increased so much by his positional flexibility and his versatility that he offers you. I mean, his length is a question mark. I think 32-inch arms are a little bit more You don't see a lot of tackles with that lack of length at the NFL level. So that's why he's sort of getting pushed inside by a lot of the gurus out there. And he himself is willing to show that and do that as well. So, but he also has just everybody talks about his football IQ. It seems like he has the mental aptitude, and he showed that. Granted, it was way back in 2020, but Duke started him at center as a true freshman. Yeah. So they thought he had the athleticism and the power and everything to move over to tackle for the next few years. But yeah, I think if they take him at 20, Adam, sort of with what you're getting at, it would be a vote of confidence for the player, the makeup, the floor, and you know the willingness of him to kind of get in where he fits in at any spot on your offensive line for years to come. You worry less about where he's going to play and how he's going to play. And obviously, if they take him in the first round, they think he's going to play very well.
Let's widen the lens here. Brandon Coleman was another name I saw this week is mocked to the Steelers in the third round. I believe that was by ESPN. He stacks up really well at guard. I think he tested as the first or second, according to Lance Zierlein, guard in the draft, but he was available to the Steelers later on in this mock draft. Decent frame, has played some tackle, could play there in a pinch. If we just zoom out, is he a guy that you could be interested later on, regardless of what the Steelers do in the first round? Do you have an interest in the position of guard, period? Bringing in someone who can possibly man that position, possibly slide out to tackle on a pinch. How do you guys view that need with so many mock drafters, it seems, viewing it that way as a definite need in this draft, more so maybe the next year?
The only guys who I look at that way are the guys that greatest first-round talents, guys like Troy Faltanu, who's a guy that some people say needs to move into guard. Talisa Fuaga is another guy that could move into guard. But none of the traditional guards, I think, are the early targets in this draft class, particularly because of the other value that's available to the Steelers right now. When you're looking at corner, when you're looking at wide receiver, when you're looking at even linebacker, which they're still definitely in on. They brought in Peyton Wilson recently for a top 30 visit. I think there's too many of those positions that you'll have great value at in the middle rounds that if you take one in the sixth or seventh, great. I'm not big on Brandon Coleman as one of the top guys to take a spot where you could get a Malachi Corley, the receiver out of Western Kentucky, or you could get Mike Sanders still, the slot corner out of Michigan. That's where I would kind of put those guys. But yeah, like if I'm getting an interior offensive lineman in the earlier rounds of this draft class, they're centers and centers and centers. I'm not worried about guard as much. And if they can flex to guard someday, like you were suggesting, great. Awesome. That'd be amazing to have in your repertoire, in your reserves. But if I'm the Steelers, my first priority is offensive tackle and center, then you worry about guard. And that still comes after finding a slot corner, finding another, maybe even a young defensive lineman to pair with Keanu Benton for the future. That I would even rank above guard. But yeah, so he's a little bit lower on my list of priorities right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with Chris on that. I mean, I get what you're saying, Adam, to your point of, hey, James Daniels, last year of his deal, Isaac Seumalo, he's getting up there past the 30 threshold. But, you know, you've got Nate Herbig on the roster, too. I mean, you're already paying guys to do that job this year. So I think at some point, you know, looking ahead only gets you so far. You need to look toward what's going to help you win right now with Russell Wilson at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm definitely – this is a devil's advocate situation for me. Right. Before we get comments screaming, Adam, what you don't know what you're talking about. Why are you
We're
talking
about
cards? We're
throw you off this panel,
listen,
Adam.
Listen, I'm just reflecting what is the national mood here, it seems, in terms of how people perceive the Steelers' needs outside of Pittsburgh. I'm right with you two guys in terms of, you know, what I want to see them do. I think it's worth working through just because we're at the time of year when there's so many mocks to talk about, and that's definitely a trend I'm noticing, so I'm glad we did that. Speaking of people who seem to be building consensus in national mocks, Roman Wilson is another name, the Michigan wide receiver who I've seen three or four times in multi-round mocks in the past 2 weeks. Talk about him, and do you worry that there's any kind of duplication of what he does well with what George Pickens does well in terms of them being possible one and twos? How do you guys view how he would fit with this Steelers group, especially considering he's not on that list of guys who visited the Steelers on the South Side this past
spring? Listen, if you're no stranger to the North Shore Drive podcast, you know both me and Brian are big Roman Wilson guys. We love Roman Wilson. I think, you know, he's not a first-round guy, but second, if he's there in the third round, it's an amazing steal. I think that with his speed, his ability to get open routes, get separation, I think he could be an awesome complement to what George Pickens does well, because George Pickens goes up and gets the ball. He has the speed, but you need a guy, I think, opposite of him who can run routes, get open, create separation, do the things Deontay Johnson did really well. And when you have that combination of things, Roman Wilson, I think, would be a good fit for the Steelers for what they have. But I also think there's guys like Xavier Leggett, Ricky Pearsall, other guys that'll be available in the second round who I wouldn't be mad at if the Steelers got any of them. Again, this is an amazing wide receiver draft class. Like, you could see, like, you could see five go in the first round, maybe even six. And then in the second round, you still have guys who someday could be wide receiver ones for future teams. That's how good this class is. And Roman Wilson is certainly a part of it.
Yeah. I mean, if we're plugging, you know, Post-Gazette draft content, I'll do that again with our Steelers big board. I've got Roman Wilson number three on there, right behind A.D. Mitchell from Texas, Ladd McConkey from Georgia, who are two of those possible first rounders that you allude to there, Chris. But I have Roman Wilson even above players like Ricky Pearsall, Malachi Corley, Xavier Leggett, Keon Coleman. And you know, you're splitting hairs at a certain point with these receivers. They've all got production. They've all got great testing numbers. Roman Wilson's one who doesn't have quite as much size as some of those other guys. But, you know, what stands out to me about him, he did everything that was asked of him for a winning program in Michigan and a run-first offense in Michigan where when they did throw to him, he was explosive. He made plays. If you would have put him in a more wide-open, up-tempo offense, maybe he's putting up numbers like these LSU and Ohio State guys. I don't know. But we know that they wanted to pound the rock. They were really good at that. I think that's what the Steelers are going to continue to do next year. Some go balls to George Pickens. Maybe Roman Wilson can be a Deontay Johnson-type player underneath to try to move the chains while also giving you some big play potential too. Maybe he can even be better than him at some point. Another little side note on him, he went to the same high school and played with Nick Herbig of the Steelers. So there'd already be some familiarity in that locker room. He's another Hawaiian guy.
Yeah, I think Roman Wilson's really interesting for the reasons you guys talked about. I think the question with him is, can he do some of that stuff underneath that you mentioned, Brian? Because a lot of the conversation around him is based on he's great at the intermediate, great at the deep stuff, great at creating separation. But can he be the kind of great route runner that Deontay Johnson was? Can he do that kind of stuff? I think that's going to be the big question in terms of whether he lands with the Steelers or not. Before we get into some more multi-round guys, I wanted to talk to Olu Fashanu. Showed up in a Pro Football Focus mock this week. It's the Steelers' first-round pick. I think it's the first time I saw him connected to the Steelers through the entire mock draft season. Do you guys think there's any chance that Penn State product falls to the Steelers at number 20? He was the fourth tackle off the board in this mock draft. So I don't think that's a ridiculous juggling of the tackle order as we perceive it. And there were a lot of other people, receivers, quarterbacks, that jumped him for him to fall to 20. Do you guys see that as a possibility at all? Just because I think we have a lot of Penn State listeners, I'm sure they'd be curious if they're going to get a Nittany Lion here in Pittsburgh.
It is highly unlikely that Fashanu falls that far in the draft process, particularly because I think he's the best pure pass protecting left tackle in this draft class. Joe Alt's the best overall tackle in this draft class. He has it put together. I think Fuaga's the best run blocking tackle in this draft class, but pass blocking, which is also important, that's where Fashanu comes in. And as we did it with Brian's worst case scenario mock draft, the Jets could easily use a player like that. I think they took Latham in yours.
The Titans could use Fashanu.
But there's so many teams that I just need a left tackle. Bang, Fashanu. I'm happy with that. I just think there's too many of those teams that are going to respect that are going to allow him to fall to 20. But if he falls to 20, the Steelers would be like, hey, we'll take. That's like when they got Cam Hayward. If you talk to Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin, they were like, we thought that guy was going like top 10, top 15. We never thought he'd have be a chance to be there at 31st. That's what it would be like the rarehood that you'd see a guy like him fall that far. So if he does, backflip to the podium and do some dances because you're getting a great offensive tackle. And honestly, you'd put him at left tackle, leave Broderick at right, and you have a chance to, again, have the best tackle pair in the NFL there. But Penn Staters, I wouldn't hold your breath. I think that he's going very early in this process.
Yeah, I mean, with Roman Wilson, who we just talked about, I don't think he visited because the Steelers are probably very comfortable with him. You know, there aren't really any medical concerns or they were with him a lot at the Senior Bowl. Mike Tomlin, you know, famously challenging him to step up against Quinyon Mitchell, the Toledo corner, in those matchups. And I say that because Fashanu also didn't visit, probably because they don't think he's going to be there. But also, he's another very clean prospect. You know, there's not really any major medical concerns with him. I was surprised he didn't come out after last season, but he's still a fairly young prospect. And it's funny, you harken back to 2022 Steelers draft speculation. One of the biggest negatives that's getting put out right now by the draft community about Fashanu is his hand size for alignment, which They are
Where have we heard that before?
They are astonishingly small for an offensive lineman, especially a tackle, but I'm more with you, Chris. I think he's the type of player. I mean, you just watch what he did the last couple of seasons at Penn State. You watch the actual football that he played rather than measuring the size of any of his appendages, and it's pretty clear that he can play. I think he could start right away. Obviously, we haven't seen it at right tackle, but again, you wouldn't worry about that. Just don't overthink it with a guy like him, and somebody in the top 19 will take my advice on that.
We're going to get into some depth, guys. We're going to go deep into some of these seven-round mocks that are out there. I think Dane Brugler from The Athletic had one. And that's where I think it gets really interesting in terms of national perception versus local and what we think the Steelers need to do. Before we do, just want to thank another sponsor, Pitt Johnstown. It's a Pitt quality education with up close and personal learning, a top ranked Northeast public college by U.S. News and World Report. Generous scholarships and financial aid are available, located on 655 picturesque acres with easy access to the city center, including shopping and dining. It's a vibrant campus life with an active D2 athlete community. Check out Pitt Johnstown today. Gentlemen, I've seen more than a handful of edge picks for the Steelers through these multi-round mocks. I perceive it as a position of strength for the Steelers. You have T.J. Watt, you have Alex Highsmith, and if that's not enough, you have Nick Herbig, who impressed a lot of people last season. Vraylon Trice was a name that popped up this week as a possible third-round pick for the Steelers. I just want to – we don't need to focus so much on Vraylon Trice specifically. I think we can just talk about the position as a whole. Is there any chance that we see that position addressed early in this draft, given that some people perceive it as a need, even if it seems like we don't?
No. I just think that the Steelers, not only do you have T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith, but Herbig came on so well. Maybe you take this one late in the draft, but, like, I just think with all the needs that they need a corner. They need a wide receiver. They need a tackle. They need a center. They need a young defensive lineman. They need a linebacker. All those things. If you take an edge rusher and you to pass up any of those positions, I think that you're really messing yourself up over this. Now, if the fifth round comes around and a guy's sitting there, sure, why not? That's kind of what happened with Herbig last year. They did need a third option, and they eventually got one anyways in free agency. But I think that now with their third option ready to go and Herbig maybe even looking at it as like a future starter someday for the Steelers, I don't think there's any way they take a edge rusher in the first four rounds of this draft.
Brian, where is this perception coming from in terms of the outside and that being a position of need in some people's eyes?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Chris. You know, talking about Fashanu maybe falling to 20, I'd say never say never. But with the Steelers taking an edge defender in the first 2 days of the draft, I'm almost willing to say never. I don't think that's going to happen. As far as why, I mean, I don't know. You know, national people are doing mocks for 32 teams, seven rounds. That's a whole lot of work to put in. You're kind of looking at your board over here, I imagine. You're looking at like a depth chart over here, and then you've got in your brain from years of doing this what type of players the Steelers like. So sometimes maybe those two things just mesh and that becomes the pick. But no, I think if anything, you know, could somebody like Vraylon Trice maybe bulk up to some point and become like a five technique? I don't know. That would be the only like logic I would see in it. I just think it's kind of roster construction 101. You've got your two starters. Use a fourth round pick last year on Herbig, and he looks pretty good. Why would you go ahead and use an even higher pick than that on a number four guy to push him this year? It's just kind of nonsensical with all the other needs that Chris made note of there.
I agree, John.
I don't mind talking about it because, like you said, we're getting in the weeds a little. But
yeah,
if you're watching the Post-Gazette mock draft tracker 5 days from the draft, you probably want to be in the weeds. So
right,
you might as well.
That's where we are. That's why we're going to get into some day two, day three possible corner picks now, because I think there's a consensus that we'd be surprised if the Steelers go corner on day one. Maybe Cooper DeJean's there. Maybe they pounce on him. But, you know, I don't know that we see that as where things are going here. So let's talk about some guys who might be available because it still is a position of need. DJ James popped up in Luke Easterling of Athlon's mock this week. He's the cornerback from Auburn. Is he a name that might have been talked about higher in a different draft? I know last year we were talking about the sixth, seventh, eighth ranked corners as first-round guys, possibly. Definitely second-round guys. Now they're going a little bit later in some of these drafts just because it seems like such a deep draft for corners. Maybe there's not a perceived need to jump on them super early. What do you think of his potential fit with the Steelers as a guy who is rated well in this class but might be available later on?
I think if you take a stab at that later, that works. He's not one of my personal favorites. I love Max Melton out of Rutgers. He's a very flexible corner. The Steelers also loved him too because they talked about the Senior Bowl, the Combine, and he was a top 30 visit. Other corner that I think would be interesting fits, Mike Sandrasel out of Michigan. We mentioned him earlier. Also a top 30, or not a top 30, but a combine interview, and they sent the top brass to his pro day. Andrew Phillips, the corner out of Kentucky, another top 30 visit there. Guys who might not get a lot of hype from the Steelers, but I think will be interesting stabs later in the draft. Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon and Cam Hart out of Notre Dame, two longer prospects who kind of fit the more prototype that they've wanted to get with the Joey Porter Juniors, the Darius Rushes, the Corey Trices. That, hey, if you don't get a corner in the early rounds, that's fine. These guys can be guys in the later rounds that you choose to develop because you do have Dante Jackson available. But it depends on what you're drafting for, Adam. If you want an outside corner, a slot corner, or a flexible guy that can do both, that depends on what the Steelers' priorities are. Slot corner, they need a starter. They need a guy who's going to plug in there right now. I think Mike Sanders still, he's like Mike Hilton, but much better in deep coverage than Mike Hilton was in his time with the Steelers, or projects to be much better there. Cooper DeJean is like your top end of that, where he could play slot and safety and outside. Renardo Green and the other Florida State corner, his name is
Tyrion Jones.
Thank you. Both of those guys, I think, would also fit that. DJ James, he'd be an interesting prospect. He wouldn't be my pick for where they'd have to, unless he fell to like the fourth round and he was one of those guys there. Maybe I'd look at him there. But
this was third round in this mock we're talking about.
That's interesting. The Steelers do have two third round picks, so that could be, they could use that to get a little fancy there. But I like either one of those options. Shout out also, they could go with slot options at the safety position, which Tyke Smith and Javon Ballard, both Georgia guys, I think would fit very well.
Yeah, I like DJ James a little bit more than Chris, I think. I mean, it seems like he could play outside or inside, which isn't a bad club to have in the bag for the Steelers right now with the rebuilding of their secondary to a degree, losing Patrick Peterson, Levi Wallace this year, Cam Sutton the year before. So, I mean, I like him, you know, not as much as St. Rasil and Max Melton, probably a little more than like Andrew Phillips and the local corners who were here on pre-draft visits. So, yeah, I mean, that pick makes more sense to me than an edge rusher or even probably a pure safety at this point with Deshaun Elliott in the fold. I've been kind of saying for a while now that I think corner is a little less of a need than maybe some people perceive from the outside. But then again, it is one of those positions that you can never have too many guys. You'll figure it out eventually, because we saw last year in camp, Corey Trice went down. Patrick Peterson maybe wasn't quite what they thought they were getting. And fortunately for them, Joey Porter Jr. stepped up and was even more ready than anybody expected.
Well, I think this is going to reveal a lot about how they feel about Corey Trice and Darius Rush. This is one of those topics that we throw those names out there all the time. And when they don't have to pick other players, you hear them say, yeah, we like these guys. This is one of those situations where the rubber has to meet the road in terms of that rhetoric versus how they actually feel.
And Pat Pete could come back. You know, if they don't get a value that they like at corner, they could always bring Peterson back on another one-year deal. So they've got some options there, sort of like the center position.
Let me throw out a couple other day two potential names that we saw in mocks this week. Kalen Carson and Jarvis Brownlee. I think there's different opinions on those two guys. Are they on your radars at all, gentlemen, as possible, you know, in that third round range of, you know, Steelers have that second pick in the third round. Could they jump on one of those guys for the same reasons, or are they not on your radar at all?
Not on the third round. Those guys are more like fourth, maybe fifth round guys in my book. Third round, the thing is, in the third round, with how deep this corner class is, that's where I think that you could see. And the other thing is that because this is a deep corner class, but it's also a deep receiver class, a deep tackle class, there's a lot of prospects that are going to start falling there. And at the same time, like, while we haven't spent much time talking about edge rushers, and the Steelers don't need anybody, there's a lot of decent edge rushers at the top of this class that are going to make people raise their eyebrows and say, hey, who do you want there? When the defensive tackles start flying off the board, I think you could see a lot of guys go there. Linebackers, I think the top six or seven guys would be what everyone's looking at there. But I think that if the Steelers are getting a corner in the first three rounds, there's a cutoff, I think, right around like maybe even like a Kalen King out of Penn State. But I think that those guys that you named, they're more fourth, fifth round guys. I would wait on those guys. And the thing is, if those are the only corners available in the third round, that means, guess what? There's probably some really good other prospects at other key positions that you could draft right now. Maybe some really good linebacker. Maybe Peyton Wilson's still around because there's injury concerns, who they brought in for a top 30 visit. I think Peyton Wilson in this defense would be an amazing pair with Patrick Queen for the long term. And would be very interested to see how that works out. But, yeah, if those two corners are there, I'm passing until day three of the NFL draft.
Yeah, those two don't really do much for me. I'd just as rather have you know, one of the local guys who came through, MJ Devonshire from Pitt, yeah. Daquan Hardy, even from Penn State. I mean, you know that he can play the slot. You know, I think there's also something to be said for, you can't draft guys just because they're from here or they went to a school here.
Agreed.
But if you grow up in Aliquippa or you grow up in Penn Hills, you kind of know what being a Steelers cornerback's all about. You know the toughness that's required coming up and smacking guys in the run game when you play in that scheme. So, yeah, I mean, that's nothing against Carson or Brownlee, but they're not really two people who are on my radar, and I wouldn't necessarily say I've seen the Steelers show much interest in them either.
Cool. Well, let's get into, to wrap it up here, a little more secondary talk. It was a Pro Football Network mock that had Cole Bishop going to the Steelers in the second round. He's one of the better safeties in the draft. We have talked about safety being kind of one of those like peripheral needs, right? Any chance, is this just another where you look into the mic and say, no, Chris, I'm just going to let you go.
Second round, yeah, not doing Cole Bishop there. I would be intrigued, especially now with Deshaun Elliott. I'm not looking at safety in the second round, but I would be intrigued if some of these guys fell to the third or the fourth. I really like Tyke Smith. The Steelers seem to like him at the Senior Bowl too. He really impressed there because of his slot coverage ability. And I'm looking at safeties who fill a specific role, because Deshaun Elliott will be your traditional strong safety. If DeMonte KZ is still around, like I think he will be, he could still be another flexible safety for you. Minka Fitzpatrick, let him get back to being Minka Fitzpatrick. Let him get back to being the center fielding, you know, super all-pro safety that flies all over the field. And last year, he had to come up too much in the box. So if I'm looking at guys here, maybe I'm looking at a Kalen Bullock out of USC, because he's another big-bodied guy who can help up there. The Steelers didn't take any looks at Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. He'd be another bigger-bodied guy I would take a look at. But specifically slot coverage guys, Tyke Smith, Javon Bullard, those are guys, if you can mirror well, got receivers in the slot, change your direction and run with guys and stick in their hip pocket, that would be a value at the safety position to me. But I just think that the Steelers, with all their other needs, that falls a little bit down. One safety, if you want to take a really wild card pick here, James Williams out of Miami, because of how tall he is. I think he's like 6'5 or something like that. He's the guy that maybe you pick up and then you kind of put him on your bench and let him see if he can eventually learn linebacker as sort of a dime backer for you in the long term. But not picking high at safety here, fourth round at the earliest.
Yeah, I actually consider James Williams more of an inside linebacker.
Exactly.
Honestly. And I think there's a lot of teams out there who probably do as well. Another name that I'd throw out there in your, Tyke Smith, Javon Bullard category would be Malik Mustafa,
yes,
from Wake Forest.
Yes.
He's somebody else who I think could maybe play that like overhang position a little bit. And if this were an X-Men draft, I might take Bishop in the second round, but I'm not interested in Cole Bishop for the Steelers. I will say, though, his safety tandem teammate at Utah later in the draft is more intriguing to me, Sione Vaki.
I do like Sione Vaki.
Yeah. And, you know, two fun things about him. He also played running back this past season for Utah, so, you know, he's a put-his-hand-in-the-pile kind of guy, more you can do. And he played high school football with Najee Harris at Antioch High School over in the Bay Area.
And so the Steelers talked to him at the Senior Bowl.
There you go. So, yeah, I think I'd rather wait and get a more undersized guy who won't go as high in the draft because of that. But whether it's Cole Bishop or Kalen Bullock or, you know, Tyler Newbin, I think signing Deshaun Elliott when they did in free agency, pretty much closed the door on taking a safety in the first couple days of the draft.
I agree, gentlemen. My job is just to let you guys run and figure this all out. And I'm excited to know the mock drafts. I mean, listen, there's going to be some next week. I'll be writing about it on postgazette.com. But we won't be doing another one of these videos because we're close. So a week from now, we'll be sitting right here.
We'll know who the first round
is. I'm going to do one finally this week. Ray Fittipaldo pretty much carries that. He puts us on his back with seven round mock drafts from like January to late April. And then I will swoop in and give my one and only within the next few days here.
Yeah. So exciting. Lots of content to come on postgazette.com this week. So make sure you're subscribed to the website. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Chris is going to be back with the North Shore Drive Monday and Wednesday. Brian, you'll have Chip Tam and Football on Tuesday. So those will be three more great pre-draft shows. Next time you'll see me, we'll be here from Mike's Beer Bar on Thursday. We'll be starting around 8 p.m. on Thursday night when the draft starts. Am I correct? 8 p.m.?
Yes. So
yeah.
Come on.
And then we'll start earlier on Friday because I think the draft starts a little bit earlier Friday night. So right around when the main draft broadcast is starting, that's when you can tune in. Check us out. It'll be me and Chris here. Brian will be at the facility. We'll have Joe Starkey, Paul Zeiss, maybe Ray Fittipaldo rolling through. So make sure you subscribe. Lots coming your way. And please, if you enjoyed this video, like it. help us out in the YouTube algorithm. We're excited to do this for the first time next week. So thanks for joining us on this whole pre-draft ride, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.